place in a second team for the second time, how much does that change for you, like what you do for a game plan?
Obviously, you want to do what you do well and continue to do that. You don't want to change too much, but at the same time, you don't want to be the exact same so that they can plan for every single thing that you're going to do. So obviously, we know they're going to have some wrinkles, and we got to have some wrinkles in the things that we're going to do. We had a good game plan versus them last time, and I think we just got to kind of stay with some of those same things and mix it up. And
after the game on Sunday, you came in the locker room, sort of gave Blake a hug. Do you usually do that?
I don't know. I am out of my mind usually. I think probably the biggest thing I was very happy about was just, you know, obviously the no turnovers I think is huge. I think the fact that he keeps – the great thing about Blake is that no matter what happens, I mean, he always just comes into work every day and loves football. And it crushes him every single loss that we've had up to this point. And it's one of those things I feel for him because, you know, I want him to do better. He wants to do better. And, you know, sometimes you still have to point out some of those good things for him because he's so hard on himself. And that's, I think, some of those things is when the world sometimes is against you, you know, you need somebody there by your side. And, you know, we're in this thing together right now. And I just want him to feel like that. I don't want him to think that he's on his own. And we just got to find a way to finish it in the fourth quarter. I mean, we've had opportunities in every single game with all kinds of different people out on that field. I mean, it's changed dramatically since I've been at the helm here, and we've had a chance to win, and it's just about now hunkering down and finishing it.
Absolutely. You do the same to other players. How important is it, that one-on-one personal relationship, when you're managing so many players?
You know, for me, for coaches, it's a very unique relationship because we work together, and it's one of those things is that you're at the same time, you're telling them stuff. You want them to believe in you because you're presenting a plan, and you want them to buy into it. And I think that's kind of what I'm always doing is I'm always kind of selling it to them from the standpoint of what we're going to be doing. And then they go audition for it out on the field. So then once they see what we're selling, then they go, okay, I really want this play called in the game. And so you always want this mesh of we're always working together. What are we going to call? What's that plan? How's it going to formulate for the game? And I think it's one of those things when they know that we're doing this together and we're all in this together and it's all one circle that we're trying to really just – get the positive and the good gains that we all want. I mean that's the thing, and I don't ever want them to think that, you know, it's on any one person, because there's so many different things that go on in a game and there's so many people involved. I mean, we might see a play that, you know, you might go, oh gosh, why didn't he catch that, or why didn't he throw that or that, and it might have been a block, it might have been something like that. So we're just so interconnected, and I just think it's important that they feel that from me and they have the support, but at the same time I have to tell them when they're wrong, and I have to be the one that gets up in front and is also the disciplinarian. So,
do you see Blake progressing, and so where?
But I'll tell you, Blake, it's a roller coaster, as we say. I mean, he's still a very young player, and you know, the whole team is young. I think that's been the hard thing for me. You know, whenever you're calling plays and stuff, you're dealing with so many guys that are still young and still inexperienced, going against really good defenses each week. I mean, I think we've played, you know, in these past six or seven games, I want to say like couple of the top defenses in the league, and then you got to go to the division leaders in Detroit and Kansas, and you're going against these guys that are older than our guys, and you know, you're still pushing them, still pressing them, and they're in it for every fourth quarter. So I think that with Blake, it's hey, just keep working, don't press it too much. Blake's personality is he wants it so bad, and he wants to represent the Jags, he just wants to be that, just the best. And you have to, at the same time, hold them back and say, look, it's not all just you. There's 10 other guys out there. You have to make good decisions. It's better to make a good decision than press it and maybe get that 30% chance it's a touchdown in a wild play to a 70% chance that thing's probably going to get picked. I mean, you even go back to last year, and that happened a lot. And a lot of those were big, and those were good. But, you know, in the long run, you can't sustain a winning program if you're doing those low-percentage plays.
In this past game, no Ivory, Hearns, Linder, Thomas, Lewis. How much are those young guys growing together week by week?
That's been an unbelievable surprise. I mean, when you sit here and you lose all those guys that you're talking about, even for a small period, I mean, all the young guys have stepped up. I mean, D-Rob comes in, he does good. Corey Grant comes in, he does good. TJ gets hurt, comes back, goes back and forth with Chris Ivory playing well. I mean, the tight ends, I mean, all three of those tight ends are guys that, you know, we didn't know how they were going to be when they got in front of those bright lights, and they've all done a really good job. I mean, Neil makes plays. Neil made a play yesterday. It was awesome. So, I mean, it's just across the board. I mean, you've got Wynn in there. He's running some things, and he gives you a mix-up. You got, I mean, so many different guys across the board that, I mean, it's a great opportunity for them. I think that's always huge. And it's great because even with all these new guys, these young guys that come from all over and haven't even been here, some of them, for the offseason, when you look at Alex and some of those guys, that they go out there and we're still in the fourth quarter with the Minnesota Vikings. We're still in the at the end with the division leaders. We're still in it. And it's not enough. It's not enough. It's not what we want. It's not what we want. We have to win, and we got to win a game. But it's still something that, you know, you're proud of to see how these guys that come out of nowhere and do good stuff.
How long do you stick with the mindset of no turnovers, right? Where you tell them, always. No turnovers, no turnovers.
Always.
But doesn't it hold them back at some point instead of saying go out there and throw touchdowns?
There's always that. There's always that mindset that you want them to never lose their aggressiveness. You never want them to lose that. But the idea is to understand what play you can be aggressive on. There are times when you just don't want to be aggressive at all. Like, what are you doing? Like, just that is a check down play. And there are other ones that, hey, we want to give them a chance. A great example was the one to A-Rob that he threw up early in the game, and it went up bobbled. He kind of hit the guy, and A-Rob went. That's an aggressive throw. I want him to do that. We say, look, if it's man to man and you've got A-Rob, let it go. We're going to trust that if something bad happens, A-Rob's going to break it up. That's one of those things, yes, we want you to be aggressive. And then there's other ones that you're like, hey, in this window here, let's not press that thing. Let's understand the anticipation of it. So each one has a different definition on when we want him to be over-aggressive or less aggressive.
Where's his mindset from what you can see? I mean, is there a little post-traumatic stress disorder sort of? I mean, when you throw that, that's probably the wrong way to put it, but you throw the ball up and you turn the ball over so many times, you kind of shell-shocked.
You know, it goes back to any, I just always look at it, any young quarterback that you have, that you ask to play very young, and you can see it across the history of the game of football. If you're a young quarterback and you get hit, and I think that the hits that he's taken all the way back from his first rookie season, I mean, all the way up to this point, that's always going to affect somebody. I think that's a credit to Blake, is that for what Blake has done, for the beatings that he's taken throughout these 3 years, has been unbelievable that he still comes back for more, and it doesn't affect him. And I think that's the thing. I think he should have more, but he doesn't. He's one of those guys that he loves the game. He just comes back for more. You're like, what are you? Wow. I mean, I'd be beat up. But so I think that I don't see it like you probably could. I think that's a credit to him, is that I think he just wants to keep on going, keep on getting better. Once again, it's about controlling it. He almost sometimes overdoes it. And I think that's the thing. It's like, hey, let's bring you back down. I think last week was a great one. Is that, hey, hold on, stay with me. Don't lose it. Don't stop it. And he kept being smart and kept giving it. And we had an opportunity because we didn't turn the ball over. And we still missed some things, but I think that's the big thing with Blake, is that you would think he should.
He obviously gets frustrated. Does he have a good way to vent that? I mean, a lot of times, I mean, it's not all his fault, obviously, so he's got to be able to vent somewhere. Are you the guy he vents to? I mean, how does he... You can't hold all that in.
To a certain extent, yeah. Yeah, no, he definitely, yeah, I think we have that relationship that, you know, I always want him, because like you said, he has to have somebody that he can. You know, in the end, he has to get frustrated with himself and he has to get it out. And I mean, that is what I'm here for, because I'm the one that can tell him if he's right or wrong for venting. Because sometimes you get people that will overanalyze things or they'll look at things and he'll get all frustrated about something and it's like, whoa, you're not allowed to get mad at that, so stop it. Okay, yeah, that was bad. That was real. So it's like, I think that's the good thing about how we are, is that when he does start, you know, getting upset, I have the ability to tell him whether he's allowed to be upset or not. And then we can move on from there. But, yeah, I like to feel like I'm one of those guys that he lays into sometimes.
Holding it in would be terrible for him, for development-wise, right?
I mean, without a doubt. Like I said, I mean, and you see it from all quarterbacks. You can look all across the league. I mean, a quarterback's shoulders – you know, all the responsibility. I mean, it's the truth, and that's why the quarterback is probably the greatest position in all sports, and because of that. And I think it's great for Blake to learn all this and to feel all this, and you just want it to get easier and easier for him. And I think that's the thing. As long as he's got his supporting cast around him so that he can handle it and he can continue to get better and not feel like he has to press, I think that's going to allow him to keep growing.
Go ahead, Mike. Since you took over, you guys have been held to 21 points or less. How do you get over that hump facing a defense like Houston and Dallas home stretch?
Yeah, I mean, when you're going against these great defenses with, you know, they've had some really good secondaries. You have to be able to, you know, I always talk about you want to win the game by running the ball, but you score points by throwing the ball. I think that's kind of the thing that we got to get over the hump on, is getting those explosive plays, getting that ball in the end zone. We've done a good job in the red zone up to this point, but I think that, you know, the shots, the explosive plays are the things that we just got to keep on amping up and keep on taking those opportunities. And they're there sometimes, but when you're playing a good defense, they're not there as much. And you always risk, versus a good defense, if you start trying to take more shots, the turnover. So that's where, versus a good defense, if you start turning the ball over, that's when it gets rough.
Without Watt, who makes the defense go now?
Oh, gosh, I'll tell you, 59 and 90 are rolling. I mean, 59, 90, 55. I mean, they got a list of them. 56 is still playing at a high level. The big boy, I mean, Will Fork is just a load in there. I mean, they've got a really good, sound defense. I think this is one of those things, like, I look at Houston, kind of their overall very sound team, very well coached. But then they also have those dynamic guys in 59 and 90 that have the ability to get on the edge and do some things. And they have some things within their framework of their system that cause some major issues on a lot of the stunts and the man coverage and so forth. So they're a really good team.